The title of this teaching would be Encourage Yourself in the Lord. All right. The source of God is the source of our strength, especially during times of adversity. And we're always going to have times of adversity, right? In this world, you shall have tribulation, right? We will have that. But God is the source of our strength. So we're going to look at that. We're going to have to renew our strength and how to magnify God through all any situations that we're in. So first, let's go to Proverbs 24:10. I'm going to hit a couple of scriptures, so get your fingers loosened up. 24:10 of Proverbs. So Linda, would you read that, 24:10?
You know what? I went to Proverbs 10:24.
Well, that's all right.
Okay, here it is. Okay. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small.
Thy strength is small. So I look up these words. So if they faint, small means it's narrow, okay? You don't have big strength. It's just little, okay? And adversity could be trouble, distress, or tribulation, all right? So when we're discouraged, causes us to lose confidence in God, right? And enthusiasm and weakens our resolve. See, I'm not resolved. I'm resolved, right? So it weakens our resolve to stand on the word. Also, when you're discouraged, you become weary, faint and weary, resulting in, right, quitting, giving up. Again, Galatians 6:9 says, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. So God's telling us we don't faint, and we're going to see how not to faint, how to be encouraged in God, how to get his strength and stand in that strength. So the word encourage means to support, uphold, to strengthen, right? And then discourage is basically opposite, to tear down, drop down, and weaken, right? Look at 1 Samuel 30, chapter 30, 1 Samuel. All right, 30. And we're going to look at verse 6 here. And look, and David was greatly distressed. Well, the context here is when David and the army went out to war. The other, the Amalekites came in and took all their families, right? And they captured the kids, the wives, and took them captive, right? So I'll read here. So that's the context. So David was greatly distressed. Why? It says, for the people spake of stoning him, I'd be distressed too, yeah, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. They were taken captive. But what did David do? He encouraged himself in the Lord. And then if you look at verse 8, here's what he did. David inquired of the Lord. That's the key word there. Okay, so he didn't just say, oh man, I'm done here. He inquired of God, what should I do in this situation? I don't know what to do. What's the best thing? And then God tells him and everything turns out. I don't want to go there for that. Look at Psalm 73. So he encouraged himself in the Lord. Strengthened himself. That was that word encouraged, strengthened. And he inquired of the Lord. So he had to hear the word of God to get the strength, to get the wisdom and the guidance, and to get the confidence that, okay, this is the right thing to do, right? So 73, Psalm, verse 26. Everybody there? Good? My flesh and my heart faileth, see? But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. See, God is our strength. He's the source of our strength. We have to recognize, Kip actually, when he prayed, he said, we're not strong in ourselves, right? Like Jesus said, without me, you could do nothing, right? Basically, and we can't. if you look at it from God's perspective. So God's the source of our strength. So let's look at, while we're in Psalm, look at Psalm 27. I try to put these in order so I don't have to keep jumping around. 27:14. So it says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, he shall strengthen your heart, thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now, wait is to expect his aid, to fix one's hope on and expectation on, right? So that's waiting on the Lord. It's not just sitting around, okay, God, when are you going to get this done? No. There's activity here on our part, right? And it says courage, and be of good courage. That means be confident. And he shall strengthen your heart. So be confident on him, looking unto him like David looked to him when he's in distress. He went to the Word. He went and he inquired of God, and he got the Word of God. And he expected to get the Word of God. So that's what we have to do, expect when we go to God. Look at Isaiah 40. Everybody knows this, but I have this in the Amplified. I'll read it in the King James and then the Amplified here. One section here. So Isaiah chapter 40. And we'll start in 29. Or 28, we'll start. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he's giving his little resume, right? Right? He's trying to get a point here, right? He doesn't fail, neither is weary, and there's no searching of his understanding. Look at verse 29. He, what? Gives power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increased strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But what they that wait upon the Lord, look with expectation for his aid, shall renew their strength. They shall mount with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. See, it's all looking unto God. Now, here's the Amplified of verse 31. It's pretty neat. But those that wait for the Lord, look for and hope in him, will gain new strength and renew their power. They will lift up their wings and rise up close to God, like eagles rising toward the sun. They will run and not become weary. They will walk and not grow tired. It's a pretty good picture, mine picture. The eagles flying to the sun, right to the light, to the light. So that brings us to the next thing. God's word gives light, life, and understanding. So when we get his word, we have light, we get wisdom, understanding what to do. Like you saw in David, right? What do we do? Understanding about what do we do in a if we have physical needs, spiritual needs, emotional needs, financial needs. It gives us everything. Right? So let's look at Psalm 18. So we go toward the light, just like that eagle. So Psalm 18 and verse 28. So when we have adversity or there's some negative things happening, it's darkness, basically, right? So look at here, verse 20 says, for thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. Ain't that something? He enlightens it to the extent that we keep it in our minds. And then, you know, we get the revelation. We see it from his perspective. We don't magnify the darkness. We see the light. Here it really is from God's perspective. Look at Psalm 36. And verse 9. Look at this. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. That's pretty neat. That's how we're going to see light, his light. We have to go into his light, though, to see it. Look at Psalm 119. While we're in Psalm, might as well run a roll here. Psalm 119, very familiar, 105. But Thy word, see, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's what we, that lights us up. That shows us the way. It shows us the real situation from God's perspective. It gives us the wisdom and understanding what to do in a given situation, which is humanly impossible by our five senses to know, right? And look at Psalm 119, 130, while we're in 119. It says, now, that's the key is getting this word in our brain cells, right? It says, the entrance of thy word, see, gives light. It gives understanding unto the simple. So we are the ones that determine if the word, we bring the word into our lives or not, see? So the entrance gives light. He's already telling us, here's what to do here. Just go to my word, keep it in your mind, and we'll see more how to keep it there. And I'll show you what you need to do in a situation, any situation. Not just wait till the emergency comes around, like day to day, you know? All right, so now, look at Psalm, we're there, 138. So making this easy with the page turning. See, we're right there. You're not wasting time turning pages. And look at verse 2. We heard this before. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. Why? For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Look at verse 3. In the day when I cried, thou answered me and strengthened me with the strength of my soul. But see, God magnified his word above all his name. That means it made great. Just like if you have a little ant and then get a magnifying glass and put it on there, it looks like it's this big, but it's only a little ant. It's the same with our problems compared to God, right? So God wants us to see, we magnify his word in our lives by thinking it, saying it, and acting on it. So we magnify him. Like somebody prayed that, you know, we'd be examples, like living epistles, it says in you. How are we living epistles? By what we say, do, right? And say and do. So look at Chronicles 29. This is David again, so. Oh, first, that's a good one. There's two of them in there. First Chronicles 29. I got the people listening. See, that's a good characteristic here in this group. Got to hear before you believe, right? All right. 1 Chronicles 29:11. Now this is David speaking. Now this is, we're talking about magnifying God's word in our hearts and our minds. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord. Thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. In thy hand is power and might. In thy hand it is to make great and to give, what? Strength unto all. Now, therefore, our God, we praise thee and thank thee and praise thy glorious name. Now, he basically sums up, he recognized who God is compared to him, where everything comes from, and that's how our mindset has to be. Everything comes from God. He's the source. But we have to magnify in our mind, not the problem, not the pain in my arm, not the bank account that don't look good. We magnify. Both riches and honor come from him. He's our source. And we cannot be moved, like the song says, right? So let's look at Psalm 34. So what do we do? Here's some insight. Psalm 34, verse 1. And all these characteristics of what David said are basically here. Praise, thanksgiving, right? Verse 1 of Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at what? All times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Not just when you hit the lottery or not when you get a raise or something. Continually be in our mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. And look at verse 3. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. We magnify him by magnify who he is. He knows who he is, right? We're magnifying to us. We're making it great, reinforcing it continually, right? Continually. Not what the economy is and continually. See, that's a good principle of marketing, right? They keep bombarding you with all these. Well, let me foot over here. I'm getting drunk. If you ever see it, look at all the drug commercials, right? So how much you bombard it, but then you read all the fine print. Suicidal thoughts, you're going to do this. They don't really magnify that, do they? Because it's the fine print. They magnify all the rare, you know, good stuff. But so the point is, so we magnify God's word because we're bombarded with a lot of stuff every day. And we can manage that too if we don't feed off certain foods, certain news and all that stuff. Now, you should be aware of what's going on, but know what to pray for. But we magnify God. That's why it says in 2 Timothy, pray for all those in authority. It doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or Republican. It doesn't matter what. It's you pray for those in authority. So we may live a quiet and peaceable life in honesty. For this is acceptable in sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. And all men, pray for all in authority, all men to be saved. Come to the knowledge of the truth. There is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave his life a ransom for all. If you think of that, if you read it like that, there's all men. He wants all to be saved, and God, Jesus Christ, came for all. And it doesn't matter affiliation. That's how God says to pray for the government. And those in authority could be in business, in the church, influencers. Now we think about them, right? But we pray for it, and then when you see God act. So when you see things happening, you say, oh, wow, well, he's working within people because nothing gets done unless people make decisions, right? So this is a little tangent, but that's how we magnify him. We magnify him. I'll just read this. I will praise the name of the Lord with a song and magnify him with thanksgiving, right? And then in Acts 10, you don't have to turn it, 46, we all know this. For we heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. So that's another way we magnify with our understanding and we speak in tongues. Much, right? That's what Paul says. So let's go to Proverbs while we're close to Proverbs. We're getting there. We're getting there. Only 4 pages left here. Yeah. We got a good time here? Okay, we're good. All right. Okay, so now, how not to be discouraged, right? You sort of know, we've seen some of this, but we speak God's word. God's word is life, it's light, right? It gives us understanding and its power. So here's the power of our words. So Proverbs 18, we all have heard this, verse 21. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, the word power, the authority of the tongue. Remember, your tongue can steer you into the light or away from the light. It tells you in James, right? It's like a bridle, you're like the rudder on a ship, right? So, and who controls the tongue? We do. We're supposed to, right? Well, I mean, well, no, it takes work sometimes. People want to give you a piece of their mind. It shouldn't be. I don't have a piece of my own mind. So Proverbs 13:3. So, but no, this is a whole practice because everybody likes to just say things that they feel or, you know, whatever. We say according to the word of God. That's how we magnify God. And we don't keep speaking the problem. See, because that's death. So Proverbs 13:3 says, he that keepeth what? His mouth keeps what? His life. Right? Pretty straight. You don't need any interpretation there. Interpreted it right in the verse, right? But he that opened wide his lips shall have destruction. So, in other words, you say stupid things. And you've seen it. We've seen it on the news more now that there's videos and things. You see somebody say something 2 years ago, and now they're saying it today, and it's like, no, Jack, this is what you said. Now you're saying the opposite, you know, like all the political stuff. But we can do that too. Are we saying God's word? That's it. That's what we want to keep our mouth. Guard our mouth, and we guard our life because the word is life. We keep it in our mouth. 15:4, Proverbs. So it says a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. It's a wholesome tongue is a tongue that's speaking the word. But perverseness therein is the breach of the spirit. So it's the power of our words. Life and death is the power of our tongue, and that's the key. But we speak the truth in love, right? That's what it says. And if we don't have the truth in love to speak or in something nice, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. And corrupt communication isn't like cursing necessarily. It's tearing people down or it's things against the word. You're not speaking in line with the word. That's corrupt. It's wrong, right? So keep God's word in your mouth and your heart. So look at Proverbs. See, we're here. See, I'm keeping the same thing here. Proverbs 4:13. So here's some great instruction. Proverbs, wisdom. A lot of wisdom right here. Verse 4, chapter 4 of Proverbs. It says, he taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain. That's a key word here. I want to focus on. Retain my words, keep my commandments and live. So we got to retain the word. Now look at verse 5. Get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Don't reject them. So you retain, don't decline. And look at verse 13, same book. Then it says, take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her. Hold on to it. Grasp. Seize it. Right? Why? For she is thy life. Right? God's word is life to those that find it and health to all their flesh, it says in verse 22. And the last one there in Proverbs, look at 5:7. Hear now, therefore, O ye children, depart not from the words of my mouth. So we saw that. I sort of made a note on it. It says, how do we not retain the word? Don't forget the word. We don't decline it. How do we not do all those things? Right? By continually thinking and speaking. In Joshua, we don't have to turn to 1:8. It says, the book of the law shall not depart out of my, what, mouth, but thou shalt meditate when day and night, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. God's telling us all over the word, don't let it depart, and here's how you do it. And he says, be courageous, be confident. God said it before in verse 7 to Joshua. Look at Psalm 62:1. So we keep it continually in our mouth. Meditating means you speak it, to speak it to yourself. And you get a verse, and you just roll it over in your mind, and you speak it, and the light comes. And then I do this a lot when I'm praying in the morning. Sometimes I have my little journal. And you do that, and you're praying, and the word, you write down, okay, a thought comes here. Oh, here's another verse. And you see they connect the dots, and it's a little teaching for you. Then I read back a couple of days later, and say, oh, wow, that's pretty cool. How did I think of that? You know, I didn't. But God gives it to you, but we have to be receptive to it. Can't be discouraged. We are encouraged in the Lord, in his word. We stay encouraged. Psalm 62:1. And why? Because we trust God. It says, truly, my soul waiteth, there's the word waiteth again, expects with anticipation upon God. Why? For him cometh my salvation or deliverance. That's our source of our deliverance. God, we saw he's a source of our strength and our deliverance. Look at verse 5. My soul, see, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. And we have to say this. See, this is part of the speaking. We speak what the word says. Like, we put ourselves in that verse. Don't just say, oh, well, that was David. You know, it's you. Say, my soul, I will not, you know, I will wait on you, Father, and I thank you that I'm expecting you to take care of this situation. See, that's how we speak the word. We speak it, it's our, make it our own. Verse 6, see, he is my rock and my salvation or deliverance. He's my defense. I shall not be what? Moved. Attitude. That's the attitude we have to have. I will not be moved. I don't care how ugly it looks out there, how terrible my body feels. I'm not going to speak contrary to the word. And it takes practice. I mean, look, I've been sick. I've been things hurting at times, and you know, I just speak through it. I'm keep speaking it. I'm not giving in. Because you give in, you lose your courage, you faint in your mind, and you're like, oh, God's not going to answer me because, you know, you get all that garbage. So that's not God's word. That's not the truth, right? So we got to be strong that way. So look at Psalm 34, 1. We're at the end here, so just. But I think these verses are important, so. 34, 1. Oh, I think we already did that. 56, 3, I'm sorry. But 34, 1 is, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. We praise him for his strength, protection, salvation, deliverance at all times. Not just when we're feeling good, right? All times. And everything give thanks, like it says in 1 Thessalonians. For this is the will of God concerning you. We give thanks because we have the victory in Christ Jesus. See, that's it. To put it all together, that's why God's telling us that. But we have to get it. So 56. So how do we continually, like, trust God? Or what do we do when you're afraid? What time I am afraid. Look, here's the remedy right here. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. When you trust in God with all your heart, you're trusting his word. And you have to hear his word in order to trust the word, right? And you have to retain it, and you have to keep it, to keep trusting. Verse 4, in God I will what? Praise. There's the praise again. In God I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. I think it's a question mark. It's in Hebrew. Hebrews, same thing. I won't fear. Flesh can't do nothing to me because God is my strength, right? And look at Psalm 28. See, that dovetails right in here. Psalm 28, verse 7. Verse 7 says, well, verse 6 gives you context. Blessed be the Lord, because, why? Because he heard the voice of my supplication. Remembering, it says in 1 John, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know he hears us, we know we have. That's simple believing. That's it. It's not what you feel, smell, taste, or touch, right? We know we have it. So he heard the voice, and look at verse 7. The Lord, he is my strength and my shield. My heart trust in him. I am helped. It may not be immediately help. I'm helped. He's working in my situation. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoice. With my song will I praise him. We praise God before we see the answer. Believing isn't saying it and then believing it, right? Dr. Werwell, I was looking at, I came upon this, I was cleaning out my office. It's a lifelong journey here. But so my paper, there was a, from Jeff Duclos from the Wave of PA, right? Like a flyer, and it had quotes from Dr. Werwell on believing. So it says, we will fail to believe we receive if we do not believe that believing is the key to receiving. Think about that. It's in Lifelines, okay, if you have that book. So if you don't believe that believing is the key to receiving, you're not going to believe. And believing is, God said it, I believe it. That's it. Then you'll see it. If you stay in believing, this is where the strength in the Lord comes in, that keeps us strong in the Lord until the manifestation comes. And we've all been there where it's not all instant healing things, but we stand on the word and proclaim it. And so when you proclaim it, you don't have to turn there, but what does it say in 10:17 of Romans? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. When we're speaking it, we're hearing it, and it keeps coming. And that word coming is continuous action. We keep hearing what God has to say. That's faith. That's what we are to believe. The word, that's a noun. And our action is to believe what he says. That's why it says, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. When people say our faith, what is it? It's God's word that we believe. He's given us the measure of faith, given us his word to believe. So the victory is just believing what he's already said. He does the work. Our work is to stay in faith, stay in believing, stay encouraged by speaking, praising God, and being thankful and grateful for all he's done. Amen.